You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
We are going to do a trivia game. Now, we are going to do this, and each of you are kind of representing your section. So let's just kind of see if everybody's into it with you. All right, so how about this section? Give it up for Batgirl. All right, good. All right, and for Black Widow? All right. And for Quicksilver? You guys are doing much better this week. Last week was a little pathetic. This week you're doing really well. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to do this game show Price is Right style, which means the audience is going to help you. But the answers are going to come down to you and you alone. So you have four cards there labeled A, B, C, and D. Okay, I'm going to give you a question. It'll be on the screen. And then I'm going to go one at a time, and you're going to have to kind of just hold up your answer, and then we'll give you the correct answer. But your audience, they can yell out and give you suggestions, and you can listen to them, or you can ignore them. It's up to you, but you guys make the call, make the decision. Does that make sense? So you're going to have a question up there. It's going to be either A, B, C, or D is going to be the answer. You have to listen to your audience, and you're going to put the card up that you think is the correct answer. Make sense? Yes? Am I going too fast for you, Quicksilver? Okay, good. Just check it. All right. You good? You got it? Okay. No. Okay. Batgirl. Okay. So, I think we're ready to go. So, here is your first question on this trivia. You can look at the screen there. It says, what would you call a person who had skill in a certain area? Okay. Here's your options. A, culpable. B, capable. C, Red Bull. And D, Calcutta. Okay, so what would you call a person who had skill in a certain area? Culpable, capable, Red Bull, Calcutta. All right, so think about your answers. You got to show, hold up the card you think is the answer now. Now, Batgirl, any? All right, you're going to go with B? All right, so hold that up strong and proud. Okay, B. Okay, Black Widow, your audience can help you. What do you think? There's a sheep over there. Hey. All right, and Quicksilver, you want audience participation? Are they no? You're good. Okay. All right, there you go. I missed it. Okay. So the person you would call a person with skill in a certain area, the answer is B. Capable. They are capable. All right, good job. Point for everybody. All right, tuck your cards away. Okay, here's your next question. There are seven of these. The next one is, what clamp tool is used to change the key of a guitar? What clamp tool is used to change the key of a guitar? Is it A, a capo, B, capulet, C, tuning fork, or D, jackhammer? What clamp tool is used to change the key? So look at your audience. Look at your audience. You can kind of get hints from them. What clamp tool is used to change the key of a guitar? I need you to log in your answers. Go on. It looks like Quicksilver needs some help, people. All right, hold your answer up. Okay, so we got A, and A. And the correct answer is a capo is A. A capo is the tool. So a capo changes the key of a guitar. Okay, put your cards away. Number three, here we go. This second Muppet movie was about the theft of the baseball diamond. Okay, is it A, Muppets Most Wanted, B, Muppets Again, C, The Great Muppet Caper, or D, Muppets Take Manhattan? So log your answers. Is it the second Muppet movie was about the theft of the baseball diamond? Muppets Most Wanted, Muppets Again, The Great Muppet Caper, or Muppets Take Manhattan? Look to your people for help. All right, you can do thumbs up. I got a thumbs up there. Okay. All right. What do we have, Batgirl? You have an answer? You're going with C. All right, Black Widow, C. And Quicksilver, C. And the correct answer for the second Muppet movie about the theft of the baseball diamond was The Great Muppet Caper. The Great Muppet Caper. All right, so 3-3. You're all tied as winners or as losers. I'm not sure what that means. Okay, anyway, but you're not losers. That's okay. You're superheroes. Number, what are we on? I don't even know what we're on. The next one. From what town, and if you were paying attention to when Justin taught, oh, you weren't in here, but if you were paying attention to when Justin taught last month, he taught about Peter at the very end of July for Hero's Return. From what town did the Apostle Peter come? Grammatically correct there. All right, so is it A, capital, B, Capernaum, Capybara, I don't know how to pronounce that word, or D. Capellini. So, where did Peter come from? Capital, Capernaum, Capybara, Capellini. So log your answers in. All right, Batgirl, what do we got? Okay, so get quick summary. We got B. Black Widow, we've got, I think that's a B, yeah, and B for Batgirl. The answer is Capernaum. So, the town that Peter was from, we learned that last month. And we're going to be looking at a villain that's kind of the opposite of Peter today. But anyway, okay, knowing on a number 5, 6, something like that. The next question is, the NASA space shuttle program launched from this location, primarily. The NASA space shuttle program launched from this location. Was it A, Cape Fear, B, Tatooine, C, Deep Space Nine, or D, Cape Canaveral? Get it, log your votes, get your... Alright, we've got an answer. D from Batgirl, D from Black Widow, and D from Quicksilver. The space shuttle program launched from D, Cape Canaveral. Alright, you're sensing a theme here? Anyway, okay. Alright, let's go on to the next one. Often pickled, this is a hard one, this edible flower bud can be found in Greek food. Often pickled, this edible flower bud can be found in Greek food. Is it A, Himalayan salt, B, capers, C, pickles, or D, caplets? Often pickled, this edible flower bud can be found in Greek food. Himalayan salt, capers, pickles, or caplets? All right, we have our answers. B, B, B. You're taking a risk. Are you sure pickled things aren't pickled? All right, the answer is B. Just kidding. B, capers. Capers. Okay. All right. I think we have one more here. We have one more maybe. Something like that. Okay. All right. Now pay attention. This is a hard one. What New Jersey town is connected to Lewis, Delaware by the Cape May Lewis Ferry? What New Jersey town is connected to Lewis, Delaware by the Cape May Lewis Ferry? Is it A, Cape May, New Jersey? B, Trenton, New Jersey? C, Cape Cod, New Jersey? Or D, Wichita, Kansas? So, the Lewis Cape May Ferry connects Lewis, Delaware to... All right, all of your answers logged in. What do you have? A, Cape May? Cape May, Cape May. Okay, so you think the Cape May Ferry connects Lewis to Cape May. And the answer is... A, Cape May, New Jersey. And I believe that's the last one, right? All right, well, here you go. Thank you, guys. You're, like, perfect. 7 for 7. Give it up for our superheroes. And you can keep your cards. You can take them. Well done, guys. Thank you. You can have a seat. And if you notice anything there, what do we talk about? Yeah, sit now. Talk about what? Capable. And we talked about Cape Canaveral. And we talked about capers. And we talked about the great Muppet caper. What else do we have there? Capernaum. Any theme there? What was it? Oh. Cape, right, a cape. A cape is an important part of a superhero's costume. Sometimes. Because sometimes a cape is not a good thing. So go ahead and watch this clip.
You want to make me a suit?
You push too hard, darling, but I accept. It will be bold, dramatic,
yeah.
Heroic.
Yeah, something classic, like Dynaguy. Oh, he had a great look. Oh, the cape and the boots.
No capes.
Isn't that my decision?
Do you remember Thunderhead? Tall, storm powers. Nice man. Good with kids.
Listen.
November 15th to 58.
All was well, another day safe, when his cape snagged on a missile wing.
Thunderhead was not the brightest ball.
Stratogale, April 23rd, 57. Cape caught in a jet turbine.
You can't generalize about this.
Metaman, express elevator. Dynaguy, snag on cape off. Flashdown, sucked into a vortex. No case.
Now, go on. Your new suit will be finished before your next assignment.
You know I'm retired from hero work.
As am I, Robert. Yet here we are.
I only need a patch job for sentimental reasons.
Fine. I will also fix the hobo suit.
You're the best of the best,
Yes, I know, darling. I know.
So sometimes a cape isn't a good thing. Because even though it looks good and it looks cool, sorry, I am used to having full ventilation up here, and the wig is just not. But sometimes, you know, a cape, it looks cool, looks pretty nice, looks kind of fun, and yet can ultimately bring you down. And I want to talk today about what is your cape? And we'll come back to that idea. What is your cape? What is the thing that looks so good to you, so attractive to you, but it actually could lead to your demise? And while we look at this idea, I'm going to, as I said earlier, we've been doing this Heroes Return, but we're actually this month, this month we've been looking at villains and kind of the opposite of some of the different heroes. And today I want to look at a villain known as Judas. And we actually sang a song about him a little bit earlier, at least one line about it, talked about Judas. And the point that I want you to walk away with today is Judas was overcome by a life of greed. Judas was overcome by a life of greed. And like I said, with this series, last month the elders taught while I was on vacation and looked at some of the different heroes. And at the end of July, Justin taught about Peter. And kind of the villain in Peter's story is this guy named Judas. And we often, you know, many of you probably, if you've never been to church, know of Judas even still. He was this guy that sold out Jesus. And we're going to see that for him, money, 30 pieces of silver, was his cape. It was the thing that looked so good to him that he was willing to give up everything else. It ended up pulling him down because of desiring this thing, because of this greed for money. And so I want to tell you, first of all, just give you a little background on Judas. If you don't know who he was or what's going on or the story, the lights are going to turn on here, and I'm going to fly through a number of different passages. But we're going to look here just to let you know that in Matthew 10, Judas was one of the 12 apostles, one of the 12. So understand that he wasn't an extra guy. He wasn't number 13. He was one of the followers of Jesus. He spent his life, or at least the 3 years of it, give or take, walking around as a disciple of Jesus, walking around, spending time with Jesus, along with Matthew, Mark. Well, actually, why don't I just tell you who he was with? In Matthew chapter 10, it says Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them the authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter, and again, we learned that last month. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, the son of Zebedee. John, James's brother. Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot. Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. So Judas is one of the 12. And this is important to understand that, you know, again, kind of cultural history, you know, literary history, whatever. We've kind of gotten to this point where, like, there's the guys that love Jesus, and then there was Judas. Like, he kind of, like, hid in the shadows. And you know, when he walked into the light, his skin melted a little bit. Like, oh, no, you know, and just evil, bad things. And maybe, like, bugs crawled out from under his shirt sleeves. Like, we have this kind of idea that he was bad, but he wasn't. He was one of the 12. And that's important to understand as we kind of go further along, because we're going to see some other very interesting things about Judas. But understand that he was one of the 12 disciples, one of the followers of Jesus. And that's what a disciple was. It simply meant follower. And we've talked about this before, and we'll probably talk about it next month in the next series we're doing. But looking at the idea of what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And a follower, a disciple, spent their life doing what Jesus did, doing what their teacher taught them, and living life with him. And so Judas Iscariot was one of these guys. So that's important to understand. But we're also going to see here that he has this cape of greed for money, this desire for money that is going to drag him down and cause lots of problems for him. And so greed leads Judas to a few things, and I just want to draw them out for you here. First of all, greed leads Judas to look down. And looking at the life of Judas, again, he's a follower of Jesus, so you can assume, for the most part, if you're reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are four parallel stories, four different perspectives on the same kind of things going on, that anytime it talks about the disciples, anytime it talks about them with Jesus, Judas is in this crowd. So you need to get that. And so there's a point here in John chapter 12 where Judas's greed, Judas's cape, this thing that he's not willing to give up, that's going to draw him down, causes him to look down in judgment. And that's what we see in John chapter 12 here. And again, this you might be familiar with this story, maybe not. But Jesus is, it's very close. It's the Last Supper. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about to happen in the next few days here in his life. And it says that this lady Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, which I guess is good. So apparently it's a big deal. And she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff going on here that we're not going to have time to really get into. But the fact that she is anointing his feet is a symbol of submission. It's a symbol of placing yourself under somebody. A symbol of slavery, essentially, of servanthood. And so she's doing this, and not only is she washing his feet with water, but with expensive perfume, and then not using a towel, not using a rag, but using her own hair to wipe his feet off. Because in this moment, Mary is worshiping Jesus. She says, you know, he's amazing. He is wonderful. There's nothing better than him. And so she anoints his feet with this expensive perfume. And it says the whole house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." So he sees this woman, and there's this woman here again who is, it's Jesus that she is worshiping. It's Jesus that she is anointing his feet. And he says, "What a waste. Who does she think she is? Look at her. She's wasted this money, and somebody should have sold that. It's worth a year's wages." Think about that. I mean, I don't know what you make in a year. You probably know what I make in a year, I guess, so you could find out. But, you know, what? Let's say it's very, maybe little. Let's say it's $15,000 a year. I don't know. Is that little? That's a lot of money. Let's say, you know, it's more. I don't know what a year's wages in that time, but I mean, let's say it's $50,000, $100,000. You know, whatever it is, it's a lot of money in this little jar that she is breaking and using to worship Jesus. And what does Judas say? Judas doesn't go, "Oh, how powerful this moment is. How incredible this is." No, he's busy thinking about his cape. He's busy thinking about the money that is there. And of course, and we'll see this in a second again, that he said something like, "Wow, Judas, dude, you're a spiritual man. That money should have been sold and given to the poor." I don't know if he said it that way. He probably didn't, because he probably didn't speak British in Israel turn of this millennium. But then it says, not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some of it for himself. So if the money went through his purse, his checkbook, then he could maybe take a little off the top. And, I mean, a year's wages, that's a lot. You know, just a little bit of that is a lot off the top. And so he was doing it to steal for himself. And, of course, Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial." I mean, this was an act of worship. But because Judas was so interested in money, because he was so greedy, that he missed the moment because of his greed. And I wonder, you know, I mean, we're in a social media society, and already I've been tagged in at least one picture this morning since I've been in this building on Facebook. And that's all cool, and we like to see each other's stuff, and maybe, you know, of course we know that online it's not really who we are. Nobody ever posts like, "Hey, here's what I look like when I wake up," you know? Nobody ever does that. It's always the good stuff. Nobody's like, "Here's the 17 meals that didn't turn out right, but here's the one that did," you know? But this idea, like, everything is posted on Facebook, and sometimes, and I find myself getting caught up in this, where I miss the moment because I'm so interested in getting the right shot and getting the thing that I can post to Facebook or put on my Instagram page. And I think, you know, like, hey, enjoy the ride. Enjoy the party. Enjoy the bike ride, whatever it is. And sometimes we miss the moment because we're so interested in getting this picture. And I think this is what's going on with Judas. He's not interested in a selfie, but he's interested in the money. And he misses the power of this thing because he's so caught up in this greed and this money thing. So greed is leading Judas to look down on others. And again, this idea of greed and what does it mean? How it's just money. It doesn't matter. Well, here, Judas is looking down on this woman, basically calling her a waste. Not to mention what she's doing for Jesus is a waste. Because he is so caught up in greed. The second thing that greed leads Judas to do is to give in to stupidity. And I'll tell you this. I mean, we're going to talk about kind of different types of greed. Judas's issue was money. Judas's deal was money for him. But have you ever done something just stupid? And you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? Because at the time it made sense. At the time it seemed like a good thing. And that's what happens with Judas. He got so caught up in greed that he wasn't thinking straight. Because for him it was about the money. It was about saying, what can I get? How can I increase my bank account? For him, he totally missed some of the bigger things and just made a stupid mistake. And of course, we look really down on this stupid mistake because he gave in to something really dumb. And this is what he had in Matthew. This is what we have in Matthew 26. It says, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests, verse 15, and asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So Judas, again, the money thing, the greed, like, wow, there's a bunch of guys that are mad at this Jesus. There's a bunch of guys that aren't too thrilled with what he's doing. I bet you I could get some money out of this. Maybe I could use this. And so he goes to the chief priest and says, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? Now, we'll see in a moment that Judas didn't quite have in mind what ended up going down. But it says, so they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. So he basically says to them, you know, what do you want to do? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give me so that I can do this? And it says the idea is to count out. The Greek phrase here is histemi. It means they had like a scale there. They were actually weighing it out right in front of him. Well, I guess this will be worth it. And understand something here, too. This is like a big deal. This is a side, I guess. But these are the chief priests. These are the guys that are supposed to lead the temple, lead the worship for the Jewish people. These aren't guys that are supposed to be... And of course, we know that there was the system. They were so corrupt, and that was... Jesus pointed that out a lot. But here they are in the temple... weighing out money, trying to decide how much it's going to be worth it to them for Judas to hand him over. And so they weighed out 30 pieces of silver. Interesting thing to know is that in Exodus, in the law, when God shares the law, the Ten Commandments and all the extra laws with it at the top of Mount Sinai, if you were an owner of a slave, there was a servant that worked for you. And again, slavery in the Bible wasn't what we consider slavery when you talk about like the African slave trade and all that. But this was someone usually would sell themselves and say, I need to make some money, so I'll be your servant. And if you owned a servant, they were working for you, and somebody else's bull gored them to death. Because I guess that happens a lot. But somebody else's bull kills them. You could pay that owner 30 shekels of silver to pay for the slave that was killed by your bull. So you get that? So you own a slave, your buddy isn't too responsible and suddenly hits them with a car and kills the slave. You could pay that person 30 pieces of silver for a slave. And so these guys were counting out essentially what is a slave worth. And that's what they paid Judas to betray Jesus. And the word betray, it means to hand over to prison. It's not a like, oh, I'm going to say bad things about him. And there was some intent behind this thing. So they handed him over, and it says from then on, and then Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And so you've got this moment where Judas gives in. He's like, I could get some money out of this, and he probably didn't make very much money for this, but was so interested in. Meeting the need of his greed and fulfilling this desire to be rich, that he made a stupid mistake. And that's the case with, and again, we're going to talk about a different number of different types of greed, but it blinds us to things. Like, I'm sure if Matthew had recorded this instance as he did in the Bible, and then went to Judas and said, Judas, hey, before you do this, by the way, I just want you to read the transcript. I'm pretty sure Judas would go, what am I thinking? Why would I do this? For 30 pieces of silver, I'm willing to betray this man that he has been following for the last 3 years. But that's what greed does. It causes him to give in to stupidity, to make a stupid mistake that didn't make any sense to him. So then the third thing here we've got, he looked down, he gave in, and now he's going to cover up. We've got this moment where he's going to cover up what he did when it comes to Jesus. And so just a few verses later in Matthew chapter 26, it says, when evening came, now this is the night where he was going to be betrayed. This was the Passover meal, and we were here, is that the Dwell series? I don't know. We did a Passover meal here as a church. No, that wasn't Dwell. I forget what that was for. It's for one of our Easter things. And walked through this whole meal that had all the pieces represented something. And so this is that meal. Jesus is enjoying this traditional Jewish meal with his disciples. When it was that evening, they were reclining at the table. They were together with the 12. And while they were eating, Jesus says, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. This is kind of a big deal. There's 12 of them. There's not like a mass of people. I'm like, oh, sure, one of you are going to do something. This is, and again, the word to betray means to hand over. One of you is going to be proactively going to be handing me over. And it says they were very sad. And the word very sad is this idea. I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, that's a bummer. I mean, this was like mortified. Like something, and let me say what the word actually is. Where are we? Lipio. It means to be grieved deeply, afflicted with sorrow, thoroughly distressed. So these guys were worried. They were upset. They're like, who? What? No, Jesus, you must have said the wrong thing, though. You didn't mean what you said. They were completely upset. So they were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, surely you don't mean me, Lord. It's not going to be me. I wouldn't do that. I've been following you for 3 years. I love you. Why would I betray you? Why would I give you up? And then Jesus replied, and actually John 13 explains a little bit about this. It says that apparently they were all sitting around this table, and John was closer to Jesus, and said they didn't understand what he was meaning. Like, what do you mean? What's going on? And they said, John, can you ask Jesus what he meant? And then it kind of continues with this idea that Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. So again, if you think back to that meal when we did it, it was called This Cup. There we go. In this meal, there's a number of ceremonial dipping things. And so you'll have a bowl at your table, and everyone at the table will dip different things into the bowl. And so I don't know if there was like, you know, because it was there 12 of them, or actually 13 with Jesus, if there were multiple bowls and Judas was somewhere nearby. But the idea is that Judas was here with Jesus, dipped his hand into a bowl. It probably wasn't at the exact moment, probably, because then the guys would be like, dude, Judas, boom, boom, they would beat him up, you know. That would be the end of it. At least Peter would. And you're like, no, a disciple wouldn't do that. No, Peter would do that. Peter would totally have done that. He would have beat up Judas, at least cut off both of his ears. That was his thing. And so, you know, they would have beat him up. So they clearly didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Then Jesus says, one of you betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. So Jesus says, I'm going to do this. I'm going with it because it's part of God's bigger plan here. And he says, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. And I need to clarify something here because a lot of times, and when it comes to Judas, we have this impression of Judas. And again, he hides in the shadows. He slinks around. All the other disciples wear white robes. Judas's robe is like gray and ripped. He's kind of like this different guy. But he wasn't. He was one of the followers. And this idea of him, is this Jesus saying, you know, man, you should just be dead. Whoever's going to do this should just go kill themselves. Because we'll see that eventually happens. But this was actually, just so you understand, a common Jewish phrase. That to say, it would be better if I had not been born. And we see it actually in Jeremiah, in Job, multiple times in the Bible. And then just in culture, it was this phrase. It would be like, man, this is so rough. I wish I hadn't been born. Or it would have been better, woe to my mom for bearing me. You know, how awful it is that I came into this world. So it wasn't necessarily Jesus saying, Judas, I hope he's dead. Judas, I hope you kill yourself. Because this is going to come into play in a minute here. It was Jesus just using a common phrase to let everybody know, like, yeah, you know that phrase you guys always talk about? Kind of applies to this guy, whoever he is. And then Judas, now here's the problem. The one who would betray him, who would betray him. Now, technically, Judas hadn't betrayed Jesus yet. But he's already made the deal. He's already met with the chief priest and gotten the 30 pieces of silver to do this. And Judas says, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. So Judas right there covers up. He's kind of fitting in. Like, his greed led him not only, now he's lying. Like, it's gotten to this point where he's not seeing clearly. He's so caught up in the things that he wants. He's so caught up in his desire for money that he's been overcome by greed and is now lying to cover it up. And then, John, it also talks about how at this point then Judas, Jesus answers, you have said so. And it says at this point then one of the other gospel writers recorded that Jesus said, what you're going to do, do quickly. And the disciples thought that just meant that, you know, he was going to go out and buy some more food. And so Judas leaves into the night. So at the end of this meeting, just understand that Judas knew what was going on. Jesus knew what was going on. Nobody else got it. So then Judas goes out and gets the contingent of Roman soldiers. And looking at the text, it wasn't just a bunch of guys. I mean, this was an armed guard. These were for real people that could lay a smackdown if needed to be on this rebel Jesus. And so they go to Jesus. They come to them in the Garden of Gethsemane, which was right after this meal. They went out to pray in this garden. They come there, and Judas's sign was what? What was the sign so they would know? A kiss. A kiss. I mean, dude. For those of you that don't know me, MC3 man is a little bit more clean shaven than normal Sean. And my wife likes this. Because it makes for a very nice kiss, apparently. Scruffy Sean's a little bit less kissable. I mean, we still do it. Trust me. It's all good. But, like, my kids are like, they're kissing again. Oh, leave the room. There's, like, warning signs now that, like, you're spread between the kids. But there's something special about it. And a kiss is something that's intimate, that is powerful, that is, like, this moment of shared love. And Judas, like, ruins it. Because he is so interested in money. He is so interested in greed and getting more that he betrays the one person of all that doesn't deserve it. Because he was so caught up on this greed thing, so caught up in his cape. So, Judas. Bad Judas. Maybe not slinking around in the shadows, Judas. Maybe he's been with Jesus and his followers, looking fairly normal. He looked down on this woman because of her wasting money, but really he just wanted to get more money. And he gave in to this stupid decision because, he just wanted to make more money. And he covered it up, because he didn't want Peter to beat him up so that he could make more money. So he was totally interested in greed. And we like to say that Judas is this bad guy and this awful guy, and Judas is in hell. And he was actually evil. And I'm not going to make a definitive statement about this. But as I read the Gospels and the story of Judas, I think he might be in heaven. Don't quote me on that. Don't tweet it right now, you know. But just looking at his story and looking at God's grace, and then frankly listening to Peter's story is the same. He made stupid decisions. He said things. At one point, Jesus even said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And then Peter denies Jesus. And I don't think anybody in this room would be like, no, Peter's definitely not a follower of Jesus. He's in hell. God didn't want him. Like, or something like that. No, dude. Well, so you've got all these awful things about Judas. And I just want to draw this one thing out. Because even when we get caught up, even when our capes drag us down, even when things are bad, there's still this room in God's grace that says, you know what? I love you. You made a stupid decision, and I still love you. You lied about it, and I still love you. And so we see here this very last moment, and it is the last moment in Judas's life, is that he decides, his greed led him to turn back in regret. because he was so fogged up by the greed thing, so missing what was really going on, that he made stupid decisions and he lied and all this junk that was going on. And then he realizes what he did. He turned back in regret. And again, if you want to say, no, I don't really think that was a true repentance, or that's fine. But here's what we've got in Matthew chapter 27. And it's just so compelling. It says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, and again, the word betrayed means to hand over. It doesn't mean to kill. It doesn't mean to condemn to death. It means simply to hand over. They thought maybe they'll beat this guy. Maybe they'll throw him in prison. Maybe they'll point him and say funny names. You know, but it was something just handing him over. But it says, when Judas, who betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned. Now, wait a second. This is a game changer. These guys are going to kill him. This is like after the trials. He had handed him over in the garden. This is later that night, or early the next morning, I guess. And so Jesus had not been crucified yet, but it was in a matter of hours till this would happen. And Judas finds out, realizes what he's done. It says he was seized with remorse. He was overcome. And I love that idea. And here's the Greek word that you're all going to remember when you go home, because it's so important. It's metriopatheo. Metriopatheo. Okay, so metriopatheo. Don't forget that. It's very important for everything you ever do in life. Actually, it's not. But it's the word, is that's the idea of like pathos, pathios, is this idea of emotion and feeling. And he was ruined by this. That's what the word means. He was wrecked by this. He wasn't like, oh, didn't see that one coming. No, he was mortified. He was disturbed, distressed, totally seized with remorse. And the first thing he did is he returned his 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. We'll just say he returned them. And if you remember the story of Matthew, and we read earlier, Matthew, the tax collector, when Jesus changed his life, he said, that's it, I'm returning everything I've cheated. Because he was a cheat too. And so he returns everything he cheated to all the people that he cheated, and continued to follow Jesus, and ended up writing, you know, Matthew. So Judas returns the 30 pieces of silver. He didn't keep it. He doesn't want it. And then he says, and this is the cool thing, he says, I have sinned. I have sinned. And this is the word sin. I made a mistake. I missed the mark. I was doing something that God was not pleased with. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. And I think he probably knew the innocent part. He probably recognized that. But the fact that it was leading to his death, and he realized how awful this was. And of course, they say, well, what's that to us? We don't give a rip. We don't care. That's your responsibility. So it says, Judas threw the money into the temple and left. And the interesting thing here, and if you know anything, if you remember when we did talk about the tabernacle, and there was the holy part and the most holy, the Holy of Holies also called. And that place could only be gone into once a year by the high priest. And the word temple here actually means that Judas, he flung it all the way into the Holy of Holies, which is kind of an interesting thing. And of course, just a few hours later, the temple separating the Holy of Holies from the regular place ripped open for Jesus, saying, hey, we have full access to God. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting. It went there, and then he threw it in there, but the high priest, and I don't have these verses on the screen, but they didn't have a problem getting it out. They're like, what are we going to do with this? And so they kind of got the money out of there, which is just says something else to the fact that they were corrupt. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. He hanged himself. He killed himself. Took his own life. And again, I don't think this is ever any... this isn't a biblical example. But this man was so distraught that he could no longer go on living, because he killed the one. He had betrayed the one that was, of all people, least deserving to die. And he did it all for money. And so I would say, again, I think there's a compelling case here to say that Judas is probably with Jesus now. And maybe just going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. At the same time, Jesus is going, sort of like Joseph, hey, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. I mean, if Jesus hadn't died, we would be pitied and hopeless and all of that. So it's a good thing that Jesus died for our sins. And that was all part of God's plan anyway. But understand here that Judas regretted. And by the way, just in case you're reading through the story of Judas. The book of Acts, when it was time to appoint a new disciple, a new apostle, there were only 11 now at the beginning of the early church. And it talked about how Judas hung himself, or it said that Judas went out and fell into a field headlong and his guts burst open, and that's how he died. And so there's all sorts of different conjecture. You know, did Judas tie a rope to hang himself and the rope broke and he fell over a cliff and his guts burst open? Was it he was hanging there for so long that eventually, I mean, you've seen like roadkill that's been out there for too long, and so eventually it just ruptured open. So it doesn't necessarily mean that these are two separate stories, that it doesn't make, or that one of them's lying. It just could be two parts to the same story. But the point is that Judas was no longer alive. He hanged himself because of his remorse, because of his regret, because of his sin. So greed led Judas. Greed leads Judas to look down, to give in, to cover up, and ultimately to turn back. And again, I'm not going to stake my reputation on the fact that Judas is in heaven, but I think there's something powerful there. That we can get our capes and get caught up in things and still miss what God's doing, miss how it's dragging us down, and yet God is still there to offer grace, offer hope. So, we okay there? All right, cool. Look down, give in, cover up, turn back. So Judas was overcome by a life of greed. And I want us to get that idea. His greed was his cape. His desire for money led him to betray Jesus. And so the question I said earlier, what is your cape? What is that thing that looks good, and yet you're willing to betray Jesus for it? And obviously for Judas, it meant a physical handing over. But for us, there are things that you and I are willing to turn our back on Jesus for the sake of these things. And, you know, we say, well, no, I wouldn't really turn my back on Jesus. But when we start to look in, you know, again, if we had a transcript of what we're doing and look back on it, we're like, wow, yeah, I guess I did turn my back on Jesus. So what is your cape? What's your 30 pieces of silver? What is the thing that you would be willing to sacrifice to betray Jesus for? And I want to say, you know, honestly, I'm glad to be done with this series. It was fun to do the heroes, and it was an interesting idea to do the villains as the opposite. But dude, this has been a depressing month. It's been a downer because these people, man, made some serious mistakes. And I don't know, I look at these different people that we've looked at this month, Eli, and who do we look at the second week? Ananias and Sapphira, and then last week looking at Pharaoh, and this week looking at Judas. I mean, that's a downer. These guys made some serious mistakes. So I don't want you to be like, man, I'm tired of this. Next week, we're going to start a new series, which will be really cool, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to just kind of end the series with this thought. What is our cape? What is that thing that we're like, ooh, this would be really cool. But in the meantime, it's causing us to be dragged down, to betray Jesus. The first thing might be, is it money? I mean, that was Judas's cape. It was money. He wanted more money. And we say, well, money would never become, become more important than Jesus. Unless, well, we need to work every Sunday. And again, I'm not saying you have to be here, and maybe you can find a church that has Saturday night worship and you can worship that way, but that's cool. I'm not here to be legalistic and judge your church attendance, and frankly, I don't even know what that looks like for you. But is this the thing? Well, but I need more. And I actually just, when Justin taught about this, you know, we kind of have this, we put this mask, this smoke screen up that says, well, I need to provide for my family. And I might suggest that providing for your family would be more important to be a spiritual example. That is real provision than being a financial provider. And so is that your cape? Is that the thing where it's like, well, yeah, it's just a little bit here, a little bit there. All of a sudden, I'm betraying Jesus. Or, oh, I have to get up so early and I come home so tired and I don't really have time to spend with God. So in essence, you're saying that money is more important than Jesus. you're willing to betray Jesus. And you think, well, the money's a good thing. And we need to eat and we need to survive. And it is. There's nothing wrong with money. The love of money is the issue. That's a whole other topic to talk about. Money isn't a bad thing. But it becomes our cape. It becomes this thing that we think it's all right, and it drags us down and pulls us away from Jesus. And this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He says, Jesus says, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Beware, put up walls. Put soldiers there with guns. Stop them, tanks. Put mines there. Guard against every kind of greed. Because your life is not measured by how much you own. Your life is measured on your relationship to Jesus. And those are the things that are going to matter. And you're going to die, and your stuff is still going to be here. So make sure that money isn't your cape. And it feels good, and it's nice, and I love shopping on Amazon. And this is like, it's fun right now, I guess, you know. Kendra controls she's the one that kind of keeps an eye on our checkbook and everything. So she's the one that says, hey, we don't have money for that. So that's good. I have some accountability there. But every morning, I have a three-part process in the morning. I wake up. Actually, that's four-part. Sometimes I do that part. But sometimes in the afternoon, I wake up. No. But I read my Bible, read my YouVersion plan. And if you're not on YouVersion, it's awesome, free. You got to look for it. Tons of Bible plans. I read my Bible. Then I read the Sentinels online, whatever they choose to post for the day online for free. And then I go to Amazon's deal of the day. What's the deal of the day? That's my thing. And I just love looking at that. But I have to be careful because, like, is it just like, ooh, more, I want it. And if I'm spending it every time I see it, man, we'd be in some serious trouble. And then think about it. I mean, maybe there is some legitimacy to what Judas said. You know, instead of buying that brand new trinket thing that I don't necessarily need, what if I actually use that money to help one of the kids at Trigo? All of a sudden, it starts to make sense. So the first thing is your cape money. That was Judas's problem. This idea for wanting more money, for greed of money. The second thing, maybe your cape is power or control. You need to be in control. You need to be the boss. And you're willing to give up whatever it takes. And maybe that's in your job. Maybe that's your career. You're willing to hurt people along the way to get up to the top. You're willing to sacrifice your family in your desire to get to the top. But maybe it's not the big job thing. Maybe it's just the everyday thing. You're so control freakish that you will say things that you shouldn't be saying to people. You will be yelling at children that you shouldn't be yelling at who are just trying to help, even though it's not the exact way that you put the spikes on the rack, Dad. Because sometimes some dads can be control freakish about how the bikes go on the bike rack. And is it really worth it for me to sacrifice my relationship with my kids and say things like that could, I mean, sometimes the thoughts that I try to filter, is that worth it? No, it's a cape. It's bringing me down. Because this idea of being in control, being power, and being the boss, and, you know, dude, please, if you are serving in any ministry at MC3 or any church anywhere, and you're doing it so that you can be in charge of someone, quit, run away now. Please, I do not want you. Because that is not what ministry is about. Like, and I've seen that over the years in different churches and people that I know. Like, really? Oh, yeah, I get to be in charge of people. That is not what it's about. It's not about power or control. It's a cape. It's bringing you down. Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 20. He says, Jesus called them together, said to his disciples, Judas being one of them in the group there. He said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Yeah, we know that, right? We know the people that are in charge. You've probably had a bad boss or corporate or the man or whoever's higher than you. I had an interesting, I don't know if I should say this, get people in trouble, but there's always a certain group of people that everybody's able to mock. And I was working with that group of people that everybody was able to mock, and they had somebody that they mocked in their group. And, you know, I know that I'm not very Pennsylvania. I didn't have this issue, but I guess, like, you know, we're a Mifflin County, so I don't mean this to be offensive, but, you know, Juniata County isn't quite as awesome as Mifflin County. But if you're from Juniata County, of course, it's Perry County. That's not as awesome as Juniata County. And there's this idea of being like, oh, we're superior to someone. And that's not the idea. We know that that's the way the system works. But Jesus says, among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So if you're into this thing of wanting more, if that's your cape, I'm willing to sacrifice some things along the way. I'm willing to say things that I shouldn't be saying and do things that I shouldn't be doing. And again, they're going to be called little white lies or small sins, whatever we want to excuse them as. But recognize that that's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to stand out because we serve people, because we serve the people that are under us. So maybe that's your cape. Maybe your cape is power and control. Maybe your cape is time. What? Time? Sometimes we get so obsessed about having time or not having enough of time that we sacrifice things that matter for the sake of having more time. I mean, I know none of you have ever done this, and maybe your time with God isn't in the morning, maybe it's lunchtime, maybe it's in the evening, but I know, especially when I was in college, like, man, I'm going to spend my time with God at night. And I never had time for that. And I would find myself falling asleep. And so, you know, maybe time. Oh, I need more time. So, well, if I don't show up to work, I'm going to get fired. If I don't eat, I'm going to starve. But, you know, if I don't pray, it's not going to be a big deal. Right? So we sacrifice that because we need more time. And so we're willing to betray Jesus for the sake of time. Time is our cape. In Ephesians chapter 5, there's a letter that Paul wrote to a church he planted in Ephesus. He says to them, he says, so be careful how you live. Be careful. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. The King James, the old King James English version says, redeem the time. Take back the time. Make sure that every moment is lived intentionally. In these evil days, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So maybe time is your cape because we're so interested in saying, well, we need more time. I don't have enough time. That we start sacrificing and betraying Jesus and we're getting pulled down and pulled away from Him for the sake of finding more time. And just be careful because it's dragging you down. You're in it betraying Jesus. So maybe the next one here, if not power, money, power, control, time, but maybe it's pleasure. We want to enjoy life. Maybe you are willing to give up Jesus for the sake of having a good time. And if having a good time means doing something that is counter to what God's Word says, then having a good time wins out. Maybe having a good time, and then, dude, we're wearing superhero costumes. So it's okay to have a good time, all right? But if having a good time becomes the thing you're willing to give up Jesus for, then it's a problem. And we actually did a series called Life Stinks a couple of years ago. And if you go to mc3church.org, you can go to listen to the point. And I forget what year it was, but maybe 2012. There's a series called Life Stinks, and it was all about the book of Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, who was the wisest guy in the world. He also happened to be the richest guy ever. And he had the money to do anything he wants. And I'm going to read through this quickly because it's really long here. But this is Solomon writing. He says, I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. See, Solomon said, I want to have fun. All I want to do is have some fun. Dude, that song is like 20-some years old now. Old. Okay, what was her name? Anyway. Yes, Sheryl Crow. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Anyway, so he says that, well, let's try this. But he said, I found that it was meaningless. And you're like, okay, dude, whatever. It was meaningless. You couldn't find any, you didn't find fun and pleasure. Whatever. No, he wants to explain. Because he actually did literally try everything. He said, so I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. And this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. He says, I tried all of it. And he goes on and says, I tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself. That didn't work. And by planting beautiful vineyards, didn't work. I made gardens and parks, didn't work. Filling them with all kinds of fruit trees, nope. I built reservoirs to collect the water, to irrigate my many flourishing groves, still didn't happen. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born in my household, didn't happen for me. I also owned large herds, not happy there, and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired many wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. We're not even going to get into that. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish. It was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. He said, I tried it all, and it didn't satisfy. Pleasures were his cape. It brought him down. Didn't help. Didn't achieve anything. And we know that pleasure can draw us away from following Jesus. And then finally, maybe your cape is love. Love? Love's a good thing. Jesus said, love one another. Jesus said, you'll have no greater love if you lay down your life, brother. Jesus said, God so loved the world. So how is love a problem? And I'll tell you, I noticed this a lot as a youth pastor. Back in my day, boyfriends and girlfriends often dictated, and I'm talking to you students, you can listen now, and adults, frankly, often dictated when and how often people would be connected to God and to church. Because if their boyfriend or girlfriend maybe was in the church, not a big deal. But you could always tell, like, oh, where'd they go? Oh, they got a boyfriend. Oh, right. Okay. And suddenly never involved, never plugged in, it's all good. And then we'd see them, you know, a month later, what happened? Oh, we broke up. Oh, okay. And then, you know, a couple days later, they were gone again. What happened? Oh, we got a boyfriend. Then they were back the next day because we broke up. Then we got back together. And then we broke up again. And then he said that I didn't like him. And I'm like, whatever. So we totally broke up again. And I totally took my phone and didn't text him again until later when he said, I'm sorry, baby. So I stopped going to church because he didn't want me to go to church. Or I didn't have time because, you know, whatever. And we talked about this just a few months ago. I think it was the Family Hack series, talking about how, you know, Jesus can't even be, our family, which is important, can't be more important than Jesus. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. This is some hard stuff. He says, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Like, we are supposed to love our parents. We are supposed to love our kids. But Jesus says, if you love them more than me, you've missed it. Because Jesus is the single most wonderful thing there is. And we need to be careful that in our love for family, we don't always have family worship and never connect. And I hope this doesn't sound like show up for church thing, because it's not. But how often do we allow family and calling, you know, I'm loving my family, keeping us from doing what God has called us to do? We can't let that be our cape, that thing that drags us down. Here's the thing. Jesus is more than anything we could desire. Jesus is more than money. Jesus is worth more than power and control. Jesus is worth more than time. Jesus is worth more than pleasure. And Jesus is worth more than love. Because He is the single most wonderful thing there is. Next month, next week, we're starting a series called More. And we're going to look at, what if church was more than what we've made it? What if there's something more to it? And looking at how, it's not about how we've designed it, it's about what God has designed us to do. How God has designed us as a church. So what's your cape? That's the question for you to answer. Is your cape on the screen? Is there something there that will pull you down? Judas was overcome by a life of greed, and we need to make sure that we're not. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that we're done. That we're at the end of this series. because it was hard. Seeing and hearing of the people that have done some really awful things and turned their back on you in so many different ways. And God, the fear is, or not even the fear, but we realize that we've done some of those things too. And I thank you so much for your grace that was offered to Peter, to Judas, to all of us. That even though we're sinners, even though we messed up, even though we make stupid decisions, chasing after these other things, you forgive us. You offer us hope. And so I pray today that we would look deeply into our hearts, into our lives, and determine what is the thing or things that we're willing to sacrifice you for. We're willing to betray you. And we think it looks all right and it looks all good, and then coming back to it later, we're filled with regret. And we're wondering, why do we do it that way? So open our eyes to see what we need to change. Help us to change it. And God, may we in all of this recognize that you are worth more than anything. That you are amazing and wonderful and loving and kind and grace-filled and merciful and just spectacular. And help us to see that investing in you is more important than any of these other things. God, don't allow our capes to drag us down and to pull us away from what really matters. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.